If you'd please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Reading Psalm 127 and 128. It's on page 518 as we continue to look at the theme of blessing. We've looked at the fulfillment of blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the great blessing of being able to come to Him, as we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Him, not just as individuals but as households as a congregation. And I want to thank you for I want to give thanks to God publicly for the congregation, the church that is being built here, and for the great blessing that you have been to my household, in particular to both Nate and Lydia, and now to Alice, as several of you were at their wedding a little more than 3 years ago and were able to participate in that. I thought that was one of the happiest days of my life. I thought the birth of Lydia was one of the happiest days of my life. And now I'm beginning to wonder, maybe this is the happiest day of my life so far. That's one of the great things about being in the Lord. You know, I'm getting older. I'm falling apart. But some ways, it's getting better and better. You know, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the best comes for last. For a lot of people, you think, oh, the best comes when, you know, you're in your 20s or something like that. And then it just kind of goes downhill from there. But in the Lord, and this is, I think, why he did his first sign at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He saved the best for last. So all the wine was gone, right? And biblically, no wine, no happiness. And what does he do? He turns that sorrow at the wedding where there's no wine, and he turns that water into the best of wine. So the best is yet to come. And that's one of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to give thanks to the Lord for the church that he has been building, the blessing that you have been to my household in particular, just as an individual, but also as I pray for your continued blessing to the community and even to the 1,000th generation. So we'll be reading from Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, and I want to continue to look at this theme of blessing. Both of these psalms link together what we desire for our lives, our homes. There's a connection here between the building of our houses with our work, with our desire for peace, which we prayed for. Elder David prayed for peace. That's something that we desire for. Here it is. This is one of the blessings. It's found in Jesus. Who is he? He's the Prince of Peace. Also, we'll be reading about a good night's rest. Oh, when you're parents with newborn children, you know what a blessing like 8 hours of sleep is. Well, you probably don't remember what that is for a while, but what a blessing that is. And it comes, and here's one of the key things. Who does this come from? It comes from God. That's why in the scriptures is a connection between blessing God, right? He's not lacking anything, but what we're doing in blessing is we're acknowledging and giving thanks that from him all good things flow. And we're also saying, Lord, will you then continue to bless us? And for those of you who are not familiar with Psalm 127, 28, maybe this is your first time reading it, remember, you guys are in for a treat. And for those of you who have sung this 1,000 times, remember this. Psalm 127 and 128, I'm talking to those who have done this a lot before. Where does this occur in the Psalter? It's in the Psalms of Ascent, isn't it? Now, if you're familiar with the Psalms and the Scriptures, you know that the Psalms of Ascent begin with Psalm 120 and end with Psalm 134. 15 Psalms, which interestingly, it's 15 words, which is the Aaronic benediction, which we'll be looking at. But right here is God's people went to worship the Songs of Ascent. They're going up to Jerusalem. They're going up to praise God. And guess what the middle Psalms are in the Psalms of Ascent? God, will you bless our house? Are you beginning to see if you want God's blessing on your house? Not just for a generation. I want you to think, like, can you think 1,000 generations out? No, but God can. And I want you to think biblically. He is the great builder, as we were reminded. So please join with me as we look at Psalm 127 and 128 as we bless God and seek for his blessing. This is on page 518. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, he who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, as we've been reminded from the very beginning of the service, that you are the great builder. And there are so many things in life that we're building. We thank you that you have brought Christ's church here in Providence to a place of building, a building that you have provided for them above and beyond what they could ask for or imagine. We pray that you would continue to bless them as they move in, and may they indeed be used by you as you are building your church. May they be salt and light. Bless this house that you are building, Jesus. Bless the households here, and bless us now, and give us understanding of your word. And I pray, Lord, that if there are those who aren't part of your household and don't know that blessing and have not been blessing you, oh Lord, will you, as we prayed earlier, will you awaken them, and that they would seek your blessing? And we ask these things, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So a lot has changed in the last few years since you were at the wedding of both Nate and Lydia. Not only have you, there's been the blessing of marriage, they have the blessing of their foster child, George. They have the blessings now of Ellis George, and the blessing now of a building. They live in the manse. Poor Lydia, she can't seem to get out of the manse. She grew up in a pastor's home, and she's still in the manse. And a blessing there, I'm sure. And I want you to just notice here in our text the emphasis on blessing. This is what we are seeking. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 127. Blessed is the man. And man in scriptures, that's male and female. It's going back to Genesis chapter 1, as we will see. Look at verse 1 of chapter 28. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. So there are many blessings in creation that all people enjoy. But the fear of the Lord is different, because the fear of the Lord is one who enjoys the blessings of the creation to come. Look at verse 2, the emphasis on blessing. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Isn't that a great blessing to sit around a table and enjoy fellowship? And some of the best food I've had is in the New England area, and some of the great feasts that have been thrown for our family. What a blessing. It's like God saying, taste and see that I am good in these things that I've given. It's a blessing. Look at the blessing in verse 5 of Psalm 128. The Lord bless you from Zion. Remember, this is the very center of the Psalms of Ascent, right? So you have 15, you have 7 before, 7 after. So you have the very middle of the Psalms here, this blessing. Oh Lord, we bless you, we praise you, but oh Lord, will you bless us? Will you grant us that prosperity? Even to the point of seeing children's children, peace be upon Israel. Now, this peace that we're talking about, as we're talking about hands and the blessing of God upon our work, of course, this goes back to the very first book of the Bible, doesn't it? This emphasis on blessing. And you remember that in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, you have God, the great creator, the great builder. You have the creation of the heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days. God declares it very good. And you remember, as the Lord created Adam and Eve, he gives them work to do, doesn't he? That's work is actually a blessing. Now, we live in a fallen world, so there's a lot of curse and toil that we sing about in Psalm 128, but it was created to be a blessing. And remember what God said at the very beginning of creation. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, right? This is so exciting. This is the first marriage, right? First marriage of our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents going back to Adam and Eve. And what does God do? He blessed them. And he says to them in this marriage, be fruitful and multiply. Oh, there's children, right? And there's a household, right? But what are they doing? Filling the whole earth and subduing it. Now, did our first parents, Adam and Eve, obey God? Usually, young children, you're being taught by your mom and your dad the fifth commandment, aren't you? Probably the most frequent quoted commandment in my household when my children were growing up was, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Did Adam and Eve honor God? No, they disobeyed. And you remember, they were given everything, blessing, but they disobeyed and they ate of the forbidden fruit. And what happens? The fall. Labor, toil, vanity. The same language that we just read in Psalm 127 and 128, that's the language of Genesis 3 and the fall, which leads to death. That's not a blessed death is not a blessing. And God said in Genesis 3, listen, and this is the language of the Psalms that we'll be singing. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain, your toil in childbearing. In pain or in toil, you shall bring forth children. So here's like the marriage relationship. And now there's something that's happened to the marriage relationship. Adam blamed Eve, right? So why did you eat? Well, the woman tries to blame the serpent. God says to Adam, what happened? And he goes, God, you know that woman you gave me? She tempted me. So they're blaming God. And now this is affecting their children. I will multiply your toil, right? That's the language in Psalm 127. And what does he say to the man and to Adam in verse 17? Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain or in toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. Remember, there's a crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head? There's a reason for that, right? He took upon himself the judgment and the curse that was due for mankind's sin. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. There's a blessing, and now it's a lost blessing, isn't it? And we still live in a fallen world. And there's still many great things in this fallen world, and many good things of creation. And the rest of the scripture, then, is about the restoration of the blessing that was forfeited through disobedience. That blessing that was forfeited through disobedience that was looking forward to the obedience of Jesus. It is only through Jesus that we can have the blessing of life everlasting. Now, having read Genesis 3, look again at Psalm 127. Now you begin to hear the language of the fall. But here there's the language of blessing again. So there's still a blessing to be found in a fallen world, in a life that is dying. There is still a blessing to be found. We have our afternoon worship services back in central New York in a care facility for people. And they're all at different stages of their life, but they're all dying and they're all suffering every malady that you can imagine. But I have good news to bring to them. Because you would think, well, what good news could there be for a person that has no family or has nothing left? That there's the family of God, isn't there? There is Jesus. And that's what Psalm 127 is bringing out. So look at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, right? This is what we're doing, why we pay mortgages. But unless the Lord does what? You labor in vain. There's that word, vanity, right? There's a whole book of the Bible about vanity, isn't there, and meaninglessness, the book of Ecclesiastes. But what happens if the Lord builds it? There's nothing in vain that the Lord ever builds. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stand watch in vain. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late. Now, how many of you know that, waking up early? I go to bed early. I don't retire late. But can you imagine just doing that day in and day out? And it seems like it's vanity, doesn't it, sometimes? But look at, to eat the bread of painful toil or labor. That's the curse again. And here's the key point of the sermon. And I don't want you to miss it. And really the whole service. Adam and Eve, they had the blessing of life, the blessing of marriage, the blessing on their household. They lived in paradise. Adam and Eve, they had the blessing of those children, to be fruitful and multiply, the blessing on work. Adam and Eve, and we all suffer these same ways now. You have the fall, you have vanity, you have toil, sin, curse, illness, death. It affects all of us. It affects my parents. It affects all of us on the deepest of levels. And yet, this is the point. There is a blessing. There is still a blessing to be found. There is a blessing for the forgiveness of sins. There's a blessing of eternal life. And there's a blessing of a new creation and a new paradise restored. That's the good news. For the person, the family who is suffering under the curse, Jesus took upon himself that burden and that curse. And that's what the whole Bible is about. That's the good news of the gospel. That's why I am a minister. That's why I love to preach. I don't like standing in front of people. I don't like giving public talks, but I love talking about Jesus, and I love talking about the way in which he can give you hope and eternal life, because I have found it. I have found it for my family, my friends, my enemies, and others. I love telling others about Jesus. And the whole Bible is about this blessing, isn't it? Remember Father Abraham. And God says, I will bless those who bless you. Right? So there is that blessing. You think of the blessing of Jacob. Remember the patriarchs in the book of Genesis, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And do you remember when Jacob was born? He had an older brother, a twin brother named Esau. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? Read the book of Genesis. You're in for a treat if you haven't in a while, or if you've never done it. But when Jacob was born, he was the twin brother. But the scriptures say that when Jacob was born, he was doing what? He was grasping his brother's heel, Esau, remember? And there was a symbolism in his grasping his brother's heel, because the firstborn was the one that received the blessing. So Jacob didn't receive that blessing. Do you remember when they were getting older and Isaac thought, their father, that he was going to die, and he was ready to give the blessing? So Esau goes, and he goes hunting to bring back meat. And Jacob and his mother kind of work together, and Jacob pretends to be Esau. Do you remember? And he brings his dad some mutton, I think. He says, Dad, I'm back. Is that the voice of Esau? You sound like Jacob.
No, Dad, it's me, Esau.
Right? He lies to his dad. And Esau was a hairy guy too, and Jacob was a smooth guy like me. He goes, well, let me feel your arm. And you know what he did? He put some wool on him. So his father was kind of, he's blind. He feels the arm. He goes, well, that's the voice of Jacob, but it's the skin of Esau. And he eats, and he gives Jacob what? The blessing. But remember how Jacob received it. He deceived his father, and he lied. He said, my name is Esau. Do you remember when Jacob was about 60 years old, how he wrestled with the Lord? And do you remember as he's wrestling with the Lord, do you remember the Lord says, let go of me? And Jacob, that deceiver, he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And do you know what the Lord said to Jacob? He said, what is your name? Because the last time he got the blessing, he lied.
My name is
Esau.
He says, this time, my name is Jacob. And the Lord said to Jacob, Jacob's wrestling, by the way, with the descendant who would be the blessing of all of us. It's a wonderful mystery. He said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have striven with God and you have overcome. Who is Israel? The one who seeks the blessing of God, isn't it? Did you notice that Israel, this is how the psalm concludes in Psalm 128, may you see your children's children, peace be upon Israel. Who are the Israel of God? Those who are seeking God and his blessing. I will not let you go until you bless me. Why are these psalms in the very middle of the Psalms of Ascent? Because I hope you are seeking God's blessing. There is no blessing to be found in sin. There is no blessing to be found in the passing pleasures of this world. That's why Jesus took upon himself flesh and blood. Jesus, and the whole story of blessing, think of the whole tabernacle and the building of the tabernacle, and at the conclusion of the tabernacle, what did the high priest do? Before the high priest gave the blessing, what did he have to do? He had to take the sins of God's people and place them on a substitute. And he would confess all of the sins of Israel, the people of God, the people of faith, the people hoping and holding on to God and his blessing. And he would confess their transgression and sin and iniquity on that lamb. And there their sins were dealt with, looking forward to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And at the very end of the service then, what did those same hands that took the guilt of Israel upon the lamb, now that their guilt has been taken away, those same hands of the priest would be raised and he would say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. That's the blessing of salvation. That's the blessing of eternal life. That's the blessing that you and I seek on a very small scale for our household that you can seek for 1,000 generations. We need to learn how to think long term, because we usually think, I'm going to seek the blessing here and now, immediate blessing. That's actually how Esau lost the blessing eventually, but that's another time and another story. But can you say that there's a long-term blessing? And this is so important because we have a baptism today, and we want the best for our children and our grandchildren, don't we? And where are you going to go to? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the mystery that happens. And I'm going to fast forward now to the gospel and why the Lord's Supper is so very important. Because Jesus, the Father, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. And what happens to Jesus? He goes to the cross. Jesus, who lived a perfectly obedient life out of love for you, me and you, your household, your children, your grandchildren. And what happened to him at the cross? Our sin was laid and placed on him. That was the opposite of blessing, isn't it? That's a curse. It's death. It's forsakenness. And why did Jesus do that? It's out of love, so that we might receive, through faith alone, his righteousness and his salvation. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's the great exchange. All of the hands that we've been talking about, I pray that you would see the hand of God and his love and his sending his Son Jesus and that perfect obedience where we have disobeyed and we have fallen short of the glory of God, there is one who has perfectly obeyed, and that through faith in him, and through him alone, there is the blessing of eternal life. Nate and Lydia, family of God, in light of all of your love today for Ellis, you need to love God's Son, Jesus. I hope you pray, and I pray, and I've been praying, that you would love
Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus has dealt with the curse and vanity of sin once for all. Jesus has conquered the enemies at the gate that we sing about. He's conquered the devil. Jesus has risen from the dead. Why do we go to church? We go to church to bless God, but we also go to church and we bring our loved ones to church because we pray that God would bless them as well. So I hope you understand at the end of the service there'll be a benediction, but it's nothing empty. It's no mere empty gesture. It is the pronouncement of God in the Lord Jesus Christ of his love for you. If you are in Christ, he loves you. And I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy, my parents couldn't say that enough, right? And we all have imperfect parents, but I can't hear enough God saying to me, I love you. I love you. And I hope you know that love as well. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We are all involved in building of houses and building of a church building. We are all involved in one way or another with work. We live in a fallen world where we pray for peace within our borders and elsewhere. We live in a world where it can be really difficult to get a good night's rest. And we live in a world with blessings and children and marriage. And even these things, O Lord, have been affected by our disobedience. O Lord, will you help us to understand, as we now are coming to bless you, Lord, will you bless us? And may we know that blessing that's not only for this creation, but a blessing that is for the creation, the new heavens and the new earth to come. And may this be one of the main reasons we come to worship you each and every week. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.